let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Do you like fighting or coaching better, Jason?
Fighting? Oh my God, bro. If I could do it forever, if I could just build me a robot body and I just kung fu everybody until my brain is damn mush, I probably would. But thank God that my damn knee is giving out on me a bit enough to settle me down. You know,
when's the last time you've had a fight, like a legit fight, like a satisfying?
I mean, let me tell you, bud. Arsalan gave me a good what for the other day in practice and made me feel like my fight days. So you know, there's a little glimpses of beauty of the beauty, but you know, I'll watch a video of me doing footwork, and in my head is 26-year-old Mayhem flying around doing ninja moves. And then I watch the tape, and I'm like, you fat bastard. What is wrong with you, old Mayhem? You know, and I get it. I get it. Father Time is undefeated, and we're all doing our impression of our young self, aren't we?
Well, but it seems like you love coaching, though.
Yeah, no, I'm talking shit, man. I love coaching. I love, you know, it's not the most glorious or, what do you call it, like rewarding, neither financially nor physically nor mentally nor emotionally or spiritually. However, yeah.
But what's left? You just named all the adverbs. What's left?
Yeah, no. You know what? Watching them boys raise their hand at the end of it gives some kind of like, better than orgasm. I, you know, it's like a weird, a deep, like watching your techniques survive.
Validation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives you like this deep, I guess that's spiritual. I guess that counts, right? Or yeah, something. It's like I have points in the game of martial arts, right? Like essentially my techniques, which they're not mine. I took them from some of them, the combinations of them, the special, you know, the recipe is mine, mine, because these combos and this chaining into this, but I'm tailoring it all to the individual athlete. You know, I wouldn't coach Brady Hong like I coach Arsalan Mazel, because it's two different guys with two different skill sets. You know, it's like being a painter, so, or like, you know, like, maybe a robotics engineer where you like have to write the code onto this specific battle bot because this is what this thing is designed for. And it's me knowing that. So yeah, in a way I do love coaching a lot more than fighting, because it's like, I could fight four times in a night, theoretically, you know what I mean? These all four of them guys could be on the same card. And then it's my ass running in and out of the locker room with the bucket. You know,
I used to have a hard time if a kid came in that was already good, because I wouldn't want to screw him up. Like, and I would sometimes doubt myself. I wouldn't want to give the kid wrong information. Or it was hard. It was easy when someone comes in with like brand new and you could build them up. But it was hard.
I've been in the fight game for so long that I've seen not every, but nearly every combination of like physical body type or skill set, or it's just a benefit of fighting at the highest levels.
Yeah.
I fought at the highest levels, so that means I got to witness how the highest levels achieve greatness out of their athletes. I just interviewed Rampage for my show, and bro, I was on him about, okay, how do you get in that mindset where you get to the top of the mountain, bro? Tell my boys how you did it, because, and I called him out for it, at the beginning of camp, you would be lazy. Like, let's just not even lie. I just told him to his face. Like, yeah. But, and he's like, no, I wasn't lazy. And then he explained, that he had a lot of experience in wrestling where he would overtrain and he would train himself into the dirt. So what I perceived as laziness was not, in fact, laziness. It was him understanding that he has to ramp up in the camp. So
some of those later fights, I think I have to agree with you. When he fought Fedor and he looked like he was doing a Roy Nelson impression.
Listen here, bro. I lost the fight to fucking Italian Joe Schmo somewhere because what the fuck? Give me some money. Like, I don't even, you know what I mean? I'm not cutting weight for this. They're not paying me enough to cut weight. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
No, yeah. No, that's awesome.
Who's the best coach you've ever had, Jason? Like, who would you think are like the genius coaches you've worked with? Because I feel like there are a lot of coaches. There are very few like really genius coaches who know exactly what to do. Like a John Donahoe in jiu-jitsu.
You know, at the time, there was not coaches like me who did everything and like learned everything and went to camp. I landed with Ryan Parsons that the benefit of him was he had been in a lot of championship camps with Dan Henderson and with Randy Couture. So I got these sort of tips and tricks from him. But then we're talking about individual, like he wasn't an expert at anything but wrestling really. And had outsourced it to Danny Perez, who was a great boxing coach, like world champion boxer who showed me I should have met him years before. It would have really helped my career. And then you think about this guy, Chris Riley, who was like a kickboxing coach.
Muay Thai.
It was just pure kickboxing, but he was a pad man that would make you do a bunch of combinations until you're damn flat out tired. Rampage work with him too. And then I think about it, Sean Tompkins, rest in peace. He was the guy that, okay, I'm not going to give you a big strategy, but you're going to hit the pads so much and for so many rounds and so hard that you will be unstoppable at kickboxing. So that helped me against Robbie Lawler because, man, I could just kick and punch all day and I was in such good cardio shape that it was like simple. It was like simple to keep moving, keep kicking. Yeah, it was fine. There's different, I don't know, man. And then now let's talk jiu-jitsu. We're talking jiu-jitsu. Dude, Homero Jacare Cavalcanti was an old school jiu-jitsu coach that was like into he called it NHB back then. And, was super accepting of no gi at a time when most jiu-jitsu schools were like, we're a gi class. You know, that's where the money is. But he was like down and was like down to be in my corner for fights. And that was kind of rare for jiu-jitsu guys at the time. So I think that the best coaches nowadays are doing some combination of performance training, you know, and specific technical work. Because we've all realized that sparring all by itself is not the way. You have to have a lot of technical work. And I've noticed that as I've aged that – the dudes that do, you know, the whole Bruce Lee thing, one kick 1,000 times is 10,000 times, whatever, is that old adage proves true.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. But that's what I did jiu-jitsu for a little bit. I didn't stick with it once I tore my ACL. I would keep telling myself I'm going to go back, blah, blah, blah. But I always struggle with jiu-jitsu because with wrestling, you learn from the ground up. Like you learn from like the very basics to singles, to doubles, to hand control, to snap downs. Whereas jiu-jitsu, I would just walk into a class that I felt like I was walking in especially 10th Planet. I was walking
in, that's the problem, 10th Planet.
In the middle of, you know, 10th grade. Like I was, you know, physics. And I'm like, okay, here's a 9-point sweep. And they're like, oh, just keep coming back. And yes, I'm not.
I mean, they're doing heel hooks and you're brand new. They're doing heel hooks.
I didn't have 5 days a week to keep doing it. I'm like, can I just learn a triangle first or an arm bar or this or that? But I mean, I guess that there aren't enough people out there that were in my category that needed to learn from step one. But that was always the issue that I had with jiu-jitsu was that
100%.
I didn't really understand. It wasn't broken down kind of like wrestling was for me.
Well, Adam, let me say this. And my jiu-jitsu guy, my guy who is, you know, his he's from a red belt, Masa Mansoor, but you know, one of what, like 40 red belts in the world. And he's very old school traditional. So when people come in, like Piven, I brought Piven in, right? And yeah. Piven put on the gi and the white belt. And his first thing is like learn defense, like learn basic defense and basic grips. And people, you know, people want to jump right away to the 10th grade, like you said. They don't want to start from, so they get bored really. Like if you're just, like he doesn't let you roll for the first 2 weeks.
Now, listen, I'm going to toot my own horn because I do run into like the new guys and start and work out with some new guys here and there. I have like, for me, I make it a game. Everything is a game so that guys understand concepts before they get into like you said, physics. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I slow everything down to ABCs. It's something I learned as a dog trainer, believe it or not, is that when you're trying to teach a dog a trick, you have to get him to like break it down to ABCs, they call it, where you simplify every little bit of it, where instead of going, here's a 10-point move, we go, here's the first part of the move.
Yeah.
Here's the first part of the move. Do that 10 times. I even do it with the pro guys. The pro guys, like, they don't all know. Like, you know, I came from wrestling, high school wrestling, so I knew a fucking, you know, a single leg. I knew a sweep single. I didn't even know the name of it because we just did it. It's just a wrap arm single, right? But you don't need that word if you've been doing it for such a long time. So I break it down to bits. Let's just get on the entry. Let's just get on the entry. Do the entry over and over, over. Okay, now start on the entry and then go to the next step. It makes it way simpler for the guys.
That was always my issue because I was learning like, okay, here's an electric chair. And I'm like, okay.
No, bro, listen.
You shouldn't even touch that until like 8 years in.
I have had a long-standing, and I'm ready to like be public about it because fucking Joe Rogan ain't my friend anymore. Eddie Bravo, bleep me for that. But. But, you know, I'm just saying, brilliant marketing to name every stupid position in the entire world. Great idea. So now you have a bunch of dopes that think they know jiu-jitsu before they know it because they know all the names to the stupid moves. I get it. It's great. It's brilliant. Good job. But it doesn't win fights. It gets guys punch drunk, and then they turn from a nice guy, fucking Epstein, to a fucking maniac. You know, because he got beat the shit out of for fucking 14 and a half minutes until he got his fucking electric chair working and got a triangle. Makes me mad.
Are you talking about Scott Epstein tap out?
Snake oil. He was selling that snake oil jiu-jitsu to everybody, and now everybody rips everybody's ACL out on their fucking second day of class.
Yep.
That's not my issue sometimes of watching like the jiu-jitsu things is when they start off butt scooting. It's the same thing that I have a problem with, like, slap. It's like, okay, we're never going to start a fight with your hands behind your thing going to slap me as hard as you can. Just as I don't think you're going to start a fight if you get into a fight with a guy jumping on his butt and all of a sudden around the bar.
Have you seen the viral video of Mikey Mussini? How do you pronounce his last name? Anyway, he's probably one of the top jiu-jitsu guys in the world, but he just did the UFC jiu-jitsu tournament, whatever, and he started just doing like Karate Kid with one leg, like bouncing around on the mat.
Yeah,
and all these people are like, I would kill that piece of shit, that homo, that queer, that jiu-jitsu ain't real. And I'm like, nobody could touch that guy. He's the best guy in jiu-jitsu.
In jiu-jitsu, yes. I don't know how would he do in MMA though.
Well, the bottom line, it doesn't matter. If he gets entwined, you're screwed.
Oh, he would get his fucking head punched into muesli.
Don, I can see you. Well, it's a black screen. I see that you're coming on. I don't want to ignore you, but I can't actually see you. Like, your camera's not on.
He heard Jason say faggoty. He's like, I'm in.
I can't. I can't see. I can't see me either. I'll see if I can figure this out. I'll call back. How's that?
But, like, I mean... Whatever jiu-jitsu Don learned is the type of jiu-jitsu that I want to learn, you know, or is basically, I felt like he learned for MMA. Like, I almost feel like,
yes,
I think like, I got like some of those jiu-jitsu tournaments. I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to butt scoot. I mean, you should be able to pull guard. Guys do pull guard.
It's a bad look for sure, but like it comes from traditional jiu-jitsu, sort of like, or I should say traditional Brazilian jiu-jitsu, where, yeah, that wasn't, you're not, it's no points against you for sitting down, you know? And it's up to the guy who's standing up to want to engage or not. It's a very strange rule set they have with jiu-jitsu. I think jiu-jitsu should be more akin to wrestling, where you have to get a takedown. Like what? Like somebody has to try for a takedown at least, and then maybe there should be no sitting guard without contact. You should have to like hold on to the guy before you grab the guard.
I think that is a rule, though, right? You can't just sit down.
All I see is clips like you're talking about, where people are just sitting straight down. Like it's a quick. Like who's going to sit down quicker? Like it's ridiculous.
Like musical chairs.
Yeah. So ridiculous. And, you know, I get it, though. But also, I'm not trying to force Brazilian jiu-jitsu into being MMA, because that's what it is. It's a totally different sport. It should be respected as such. But you're not going to win any fans by, doing what my dachshund did when he had worms.
Don, did you ever enter a jiu-jitsu tournament?
No, I played judo.
I did judo.
Yeah. And jiu-jitsu came from judo.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. And yeah, and like mayhem out. Instead of butt, you know, dropping to your ass. I mean, either that or else the guy standing up should be allowed to kick him in the head, you know, make it realistic. How many times are you gonna be out on the street?
It happens.
Yeah, it always happens. But I can almost finish. Now, Don, I saw you at the last UFC, UFC 320, you and Mark Coleman. It was pretty awesome. You were on the screen with Coleman hanging out. All right. Well, that's Don for today. All right. So
Don's like the neighbor in Home Improvement. His face comes home for like 5 minutes and he leaves.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's more awesome than that? As soon as I saw him, I called him and I was like, yes. And this Mama Jamma not only answered the phone, but then put me on FaceTime to prove to whatever bros I was with that I was really fucking on. You know?
He really is. Like, he's one of the few people where you get, like, excited. All those celebrities on TV, I'm like, whatever. Okay, got it. I'm like, well, my wife, Bree, all right, Dundee.
I'm so pumped, not just because I know him.
Yeah. So comedy. I had a set the other night at a club, and it's like one of those clubs. It's like kind of a cleaner club, and I just always get, I don't know, like Bill, I've been doing this 27 years. I still get like not comfortable here. Like I just don't trust myself with the crowd work and I hadn't prepared for this. Like I was on a roll. I was on one of those rolls where like, yeah, I got this. Oh, I'm not. And then I get there and I'm like, bunch ooh ooh, and I know that the comedy club owner doesn't like groans, so right away I'm just, and then I get into my head, my OCD head of like, oh no, they're never gonna book me here anymore.
Oh no,
they'll do this. I'm gonna that. I'm gonna end up being homeless. I get into like some weird, you know. So then
I have that every morning when I wake up. So don't feel bad.
So then I check on the way out with the owner. Hey man, thanks for the spot. What do you think of the new stuff? Hoping he didn't see the set, you know. And then he was like, great. There were a lot of moaning, and I'm like, oh god. No. It's just like,
yeah, but Adam, like you at your worst, you're better than most comics at their best. So
thank you.
You gotta remember that.
Part about Adam is if you don't like this joke, don't worry. 17 are coming
in one minute.
But I couldn't sleep. I was up till 3 a.m. beating myself up about it until I had to get a copy of the set, and I watched it and go, all right, this is actually, you know, this isn't bad.
Bro, imagine as much comedy as I do on podcast, bro. I get no feedback whatsoever except from staring daggers Adam Carolla if I really go too far. You know what I mean? It's a really tough crowd over there, you know, because it's all comedians working. So nobody will really laugh unless you really get it outside the realm of, you know, and then which pushes me to do that mayhem thing where I get even weirder with what I'm saying, which is, whoa, it's risky. It's real risky.
All right. Okay, well, so, Don, what do you do? So my daughter came home from school today crying. You know, she's seven. I go, what's the matter, honey? You know, and she said, oh, these two girls, her two friends, they didn't want to play with her. And they were laughing at her and running away, you know. And I got a really sweet kid. Like, my kid cries at, like, Disney movies.
Right.
Something bad happens. So, you know, like, my first instinct is like, oh, well, I'm going to call their parents. Then I'm like, I can't call their parents. That's not helping her. And then I was like, listen, Violet, you know, I spent most of my life trying to, you know, be cool in front of the wrong people and get everyone to like me. And my whole high school was like, hey, you know, I just want to be accepted. And you're better off being alone, playing with yourself or playing with the people that want to play with you than trying to fit in with the cool kids, because they're not going to be. And I'm giving her this whole life lesson to a seven-year-old, which is like a lot for her to take in.
Tell her about her period, too.
No, I did not talk about her period. Thank you, Jason, for suggesting that. So what would you say? Did you ever deal with that, Don, as a parent, or Bill, or even Jason, to people? What would your feedback be to the kids? Don just left.
Well, all I know is I'm in trouble because my daughter said something about having a family. She goes, I'll have a family. I go, yeah, one day you're gonna have a family, and mom and dad won't be here anymore, and you'll have your own family and your own kids. And she's apparently had nightmares for the past week because God. I told her that mom and dad won't be here anymore. And I guess that's not the good thing to tell a four-year-old. So I don't think that, like, complicated concepts really
right.
are good for them.
They have to be very sensitive around, you know.
Well, you'd have to say, I'm going to die, and so is your mom. That probably
isn't. I didn't say die. I said one day we're not going to be around. That's what they do in the Disney movies. They do it in The Lion King. It worked.
Yeah. All right. So our 0-for-1 on advice, Don, what would you say?
Nothing. That's the key. Don't say a thing.
All right, Jason, anything?
Look, man, I don't know. I think that you kind of handled it all right. Like, to make her self-sufficient and to build her confidence in herself, that she doesn't have to be reliant. But I'm going to tell you, man, at 7, 8, 9 years old, they're becoming socially aware, and they're like, you know, their forebrain is growing in where they have, and she's going to become even more self-aware in the next couple of years. And what happens is it goes from she's just seeing what's going on outside to her brain is forming the parts that adapt to, like, what do other people think of how I look? I've witnessed it right now because I've gone through the age 8 to 9 and watched how now suddenly she's thinking about how do people look to me, and now becoming embarrassed by dances or what she's become more shy. So it's something you have to be aware of and foster some confidence in herself.
No, it's funny. No, some of the advice, like, dude, there's this little girl, one of her friends, this little girl is black, adorable girl, and they were out at this, like, gymboree thing. Anyway, there was, like, a bunch of kids that were Asian that were, like, bullying them, and then they told us, me and the mom, and then they were playing Legos, and the mom comes over, and the mom was like, you know, if your daughter doesn't apologize to my daughter, I'm going to beat her on the head with a Lego or something. That was like, I was like, whoa. I was kind of moonwalking away from the situation. Like, the mom was, like, very pregnant and just hormones. Anyway, fast forward to, like, a couple months later, we're at the school, and that little girl's like, Violet, run. The monsters are coming. It's a bunch of the Chinese kids, right? So I...
Like learning racism early. I mean, that's good.
So I told the mom, like, hey, you know, look, I heard this, but the teachers may not vibe with this. You might want to, you know. And then the mom calls the kid over. Is like, hey, you wouldn't like it if they said, yeah, look, the black kids are coming. Like, come on. So, and I go, listen, it's okay to make fun of one person, like, you know, call that person a nerd or a dummy or a geek or whatever. But we don't want to just generalize. But it's okay to make fun. And they looked at me like, what? And then my wife, I got to tell my wife, she's like, or just not make fun of people at all.
You gotta make fun of somebody. Come on. Either groups of people or individuals. Pick a lane.
Yeah, but like individually you could just kill some, you could just tear them up. You know, I just make fun of them to the end. But you don't want to put them all together.
Yeah. Particularly if they're Chinese, you can make fun of them as much as you want.
Yeah. Dude. It was anyway. Did you guys watch the fights over the weekend?
Yeah.
What did you think, Jason?
Well, I didn't see none of those fights. My link didn't work. I don't know what's happening.
Can I say what's great about those fights? It's cool that it was in Rio because it was a pretty good statement for jiu-jitsu. There were like five different submissions, all different types of interesting jiu-jitsu submissions that, I don't know, I thought it was a good statement for jiu-jitsu
in MMA.
For some
reason, whenever they go to like France, the French fighters always seem to win. Whenever they go to Brazil, the Brazilian fighters usually win.
You've been watching for 20 years and you're figuring it out, huh?
So it was a
home court advantage, baby.
It was a good for jiu-jitsu based on the matchups that they seem to have against people that don't really excel in jiu-jitsu versus a guy who's really good at jiu-jitsu. But yeah, so Oliveira won. He looked great.
When two dopey son of a bitches fight, the guy who knows more jiu-jitsu wins.
Pretty much. So Oliveira won, but then he got in trouble because after he won, he took his baby and lifted his baby up with one hand in the middle of the octagon. And all these.
What's wrong with that?
How did I not see this Michael Jackson moment?
Yeah. He was doing the Lion King. Hi, Sylvania. What's wrong with that?
Because I was like looking up Gutfeld stories last night to write for Gutfeld, and all of a sudden it was like MMA fighter is being criticized, and I go, "What the?" And it was it was Oliveira with his baby like this, like, yeah, doing a Simba.
Yeah, wait, he had the baby palmed in the ass like a basketball and lifted him up.
Basically,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome until you drop the kid and then he's got like...
Yeah, but Adam, you know what it is. You as a dad, you are not going to drop that baby.
Yeah. But hey, listen, then you could sue Dana White for CTE finally.
I'm not going to drop the baby, but I also didn't fight a round and a half or two rounds three rounds in the middle. And all of a sudden, you know, a lot of things are going on in the middle of the octagon. You got all these people.
I know. Yeah, what if you like just slammed them down on a commission accident? Like, you're fucking, you know what I mean? Drop him in the bucket and he drowns. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Oh, amazing.
So, that was one. The other fight, Yoel Alvarez fought Vicente Luque. Luque kind of turtled up. Something happened where he just did not want, it looked like he did not want to be there. And it was weird. It was a weird fight. But since you didn't see it, we'll go over some other stuff. Jason, there was an up. Did you guys see the up kick knockout?
Oh, I missed that one.
It wasn't at the event. It was just like, I think it was in one championship fight. So here we go. So look, here we go, Jake.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sorry, man. I can't see it. What happened?
You can't see it?
Oh, yeah.
It was a classic up kick.
Oh, my goodness.
Straight up uppercut.
Yeah, no, that's not a classic up kick. Nope. On the contrary, this
really,
axe kick. This is kind of a new version. Like,
game time, NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game. Okay, you get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, You browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on with Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events. All right, they have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price to get great seats. They have the Super Deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you don't like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot. Whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
Me and Fabricio used to work this, but we would always go to the body. But it's kind of like you lift up with your hips and hack down with your heel.
Oh, so the force is coming down, it's not up?
From that angle, it looks like he was kicking up, but really he was kicking up and like a hammer fisting with his heel, you know? Yeah, that was a good one. Damn, that was a good.
I mean, there's now new ways to lose. It sucks. I mean, that other, you think like, I got a guy down. I mean, that wouldn't be like a man.
Oh, but this is a man. It's just that, look, everything gets reinvented over and over again. America, look, the Western world is now realizing, oops, Dagestanis know how to wrestle real good, and we're like rediscovering wrestling again because the paradigm has rewarded you for being a striker, even a so-so striker, as long as you brawl it out. And Dana keeps awarding contracts for that. The fans want to see a fucking knockout. I get it, totally. But then comes Dagestani in with a nice wrestling takedowns and what. So everybody's relearning that. This is one of those things where kids are going to be practicing it now because you showed it on this show. That's just how it goes. It's like feeds upon itself. It's a feedback loop. It's a style, culture in general. You know, doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Yeah,
Like,
that
and
makes
the
sense.
same thing with the fight sport. Dude, somebody busts a sweet ass move like this, and then on that Monday, everybody's trying it in the gym.
Yeah, it's rare to see upcut from that much elevation.
Comedy is the same way. I mean, basically, like back in the day, it was like, hey, take my wife, please. You know, it was very, very old school zingers. And then all of a sudden, it was like storyteller. So I was just going to tell a story. And now, even with the Kill Tony, those are just one-liners. I mean, not, they're pretty much very, they're some of them are great, but they're zingers. It's basically just a throwback to old school, you know, boom, you know, blah, 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 set up punch.
John Rickles and
Which I love. I like love that style of comedy. I mean, I kind of like both. I mean, there's not, you know, the style I like comedy are people that could do that their style well. I mean, Chappelle, the problem with like Chappelle is such a great joke craftsman storyteller, but he could sit on his stool and it's entertaining as fuck. But then all of a sudden, you see all these comics just sitting down on their stool telling a story like it's a campfire, and, you know, and like, hey, look, and it just comes across as like lazy. To me, it's lazy and boring if it's not Patrice or Chappelle or you know, enticing to me though. I mean, that's just me.
This is interesting to me. You're saying storytelling style is not good for you?
For me personally, because in my head, I'm just like, get to the punchline. I don't like, unless the story to me is so punched up,
Yeah.
I don't like to have more than
That's what I'm exploring because I don't know. I don't know. I can't do your style of comedy. And on top of that, bro, Burt Kirshner ain't got nothing on me, bro. This guy thinks that he had a bunch of crazy stuff happen to him. I had so much crazy. I incited most of the crazy stuff that happened to me. You know what I
Well,
mean? So
you'd be great for a one-man show, Jason. You should put together a one-man show.
I'm
plus, your
down.
story's actually happened.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's the other thing, huh? That's the other thing. It's like this Fibonacci sequence. This guy just made up a damn.
I'm sort of kidding, but listen, no, but the deal is, but you're right. Look, I don't mind stories as long as there's, I don't like to wait three or four sentences before getting a laugh.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. There is something to be said about building tension to get a bigger release.
100%. 1,000%. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, a lot of times, like, look, I like Bob Saget, but he wasn't one of my favorite comics because I felt like everything that he was doing was like, oh, you know, I was, you know, fucking a nun today and the asshole or whatever it was. I was like, I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't believe it from the jump. You know,
yeah.
So it was hard for me to really invest in it if I don't believe it. You know,
yeah, for sure.
So
I mean, that's no reason to kill the guy, though.
No, Bob Saget's brilliant, and you know, rest in peace, Bob Saget, and he's a very talented man. But I'm saying, but some of the stand up, I felt like it was just it, from the jump. I didn't invest in it.
Here's the thing, though, is that when you're Bob Saget, the minute you show up, everybody's like, Danny Tanner. So the wholesomeness of Danny Tanner character, he had to like defeat it.
No, sure. Yes. And he was doing songs about fingering Kimmy Gibbler, and people were like, what the fuck? I'm just using an example of like somebody that it was hard for me to really, and I have to watch myself that I don't become that guy of like where
he was asking for it.
Where it's too much, where the heart gets taken out of the joke, and then it just becomes a bunch of words, you know. So
yeah,
something that like I have to be careful of my own, because you could edit something so much where you lose all the substance, like, or you could not edit something at all where it's just like, oh, get to the fucking point. So it really is like a fine line of it really is like you're carving a really nice ice sculpture. All right, so here we go. This fight right here. I don't know what happened, Jason, in this fight right here, but I had to share it because I was like, what the fuck is this? And I thought you might be interested as to what do you think happened? So here we go. This fight, I think, happened in Russia.
Oh, he's
started it.
No, he's partying.
Turn off the sound. So right,
the guy taps.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
Oh.
I think it was like a tournament, and he didn't need to win. He didn't need to fight in order to move forward in the tournament or something like that.
I mean, he tapped before the fight even started.
Yeah, because, well, it was a tournament, and there's something with points, and I think if he lost the fight, he still gets to move forward.
Oh.
So he's like, I don't need to do this fight, so he's tapped, and that's just bad sportsmanship, obviously. But
That makes way more sense.
But it's like, they shouldn't set up the tournament.
I agree.
You hack the system. Like, why? If I got one more fight tonight and I, like, for sure, and it don't matter what happens in this, why on earth would you set up the tournament that way? And I mean, look, like, obviously the guy wasn't in great shape anyway. He's wearing a shirt.
That's true. I don't know if you saw BKFC last week. A guy fought with an ankle monitor.
No way. That's the funniest thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, you ever have an ankle monitor?
He has one right now.
They knew that I would cut that thing off and go on the run. They knew the minute that I'd be like, yeah, sure. Put it on, pal. Because I would have just popped smoke right to Tijuana.
All right. And then did you guys see BKFC has a new hockey league? Where it's bare knuckle boxing, but on ice skates.
Man,
I like it.
Sounds safe, bro. I mean, listen, there's gonna be a lot of crossover from Smurfs on Ice. I think that old hockey goalies making money off punching each other in the face, huh?
Bill, you like this? Why would you possibly?
I mean, that's basically a hockey game anyway, right? Like, what's the difference?
The good parts of the hockey game. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but right. I mean, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a good ice skater, so I would be out, or a good boxer either. But so I'm like, over two there.
Funny,
That's why people watch hockey games. It's just for the fight. So this is like cut out the hockey part.
All right, so here it is. Here's a little bit of it.
Looks like Colton Hollywood.
Wait, this is in America?
Nice.
I think it was in Canada.
We got Dave Feldman in the crowd. He's loving this.
Oh my goodness.
Trip on. And looks like Colton Hollywood Hayes has injured his opponent. He's down. Hayes with a huge set of rights into the corner.
And the Canadian Reaper, he's not used to getting backed up in the corner. Wow, he waves it.
I like that they have like a rugby helmet to prevent them from really getting fucking hurt. 1932 football helmet.
I mean, I don't know.
At least like you can ice your face after you get knocked out, you know?
The round of the year, by the way, on the contender last week, this, and like just Jason, just like you were saying, how they award people with no defense. That's what happened here. I'll show you some highlights. Shout out to Grabaka Hitman for this guy always has the craziest fights. This guy, I don't know who he is. I think he's out of New York, but he just finds these crazy fights in every.
No, that's fine.
This is like for the last 15 years he's been doing this of all over the world. This dude, like, I think he has like 9 different TVs where like anytime there's a fucking wild fight going on, this guy knows about it. But here he is. So this round over here, Jason, let me know what you think as an expert opinion. Right. Bill, there we go. This fight was pretty good. This guy Volagdan, I think he was from Sweden, versus Martin.
He's got a reach disadvantage, so he's doing a good.
All right.
He jumps him after eating a couple of big shots himself.
Okay, so the exchange is no head movement, right? Sock him robot. And then this shorter guy is putting the pressure. He got hit with a stiff jab at the beginning of that sequence.
Goodness.
Now they're locked up. Oh, and a back spinning back fist at the end. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's like we used to love the girls fighting because they would fight. Still, you know,
this goes on for 3 minutes.
Yeah. No defense at all. Not one punch blocked.
No, no.
Plenty of them were blocked with orbital bones.
But both guys went for rolling thunders. Basically, you know what that is, Bill?
No, what is that?
It's like a somersault, but with your feet. Like
exactly, you know what it is? It's that technique that the guy got knocked out with earlier in the show. That up kick, but rolling forward. You just do it.
Yeah.
I practiced it a bunch too. I never did it in a fight, but you roll forward and find your heel on his face.
Wait, you landed that in practice?
Yeah. I mean, I would do it on the pads, and I got good at it actually for like a summer in 2008.
That's impressive, Jason, because you're tall, and I feel like that's a short man's move.
Well, here's the thing is that once you got to do it on the bag a bunch of times where you can feel, okay, where is my heel landing and how far away do I have to be? Then you have to do it on the pads where a buddy that you really trust here, you know, holds the pads like this and together, Muay Thai pads backwards and you roll forward and kick the pads. Then, I mean, theoretically, you do it in the fight. But I never had the balls to do a front flip like an idiot.
Well, yeah, because also if you miss, you're like on your ass.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of like a good idea to do against a dude that you know you can jujitsu beat up because you do a forward roll front flip. If it doesn't work, then fine, scramble back up or start doing jujitsu.
So
tell you some fucking. Some kid at jiu-jitsu practice who my student Brady Hong coaches him, and Brady Hong is an expert at jiu-jitsu leg locks, you know, super good at it. I guess he must have seen this Brady do like a four like Imanari roll. The kid did a rolling thunder into my face so hard, bro, that I still feel it 2 weeks later. And I'll tell you what, I thought I was bleeding. And so in the middle of choking him out, I like let go one hand and checked if I was bleeding, and then continued to choke him out.
Why do I feel like you would go, ha, when he landed it? Did you laugh?
I laughed. I went, bro, 100%, bro, 100%. How, like, he was spinning as hard as he could to try to get me to leg lock, and his foot came and hit me across the face and the ear. I thought I was going to have a new cauliflower ear at 44 years old, bro.
When I was in high school, this is after surgery, my ear was out to here from wrestling, and the only girls that thought it was cool were, like, goth girls. Girls that were into, like, Nine Inch Nails and, like, Marilyn Manson, because they're like, your ear is purple. That's so cool. Like those, dude.
You pop it and squirt it into their mouth so they can become... vampirist.
Dude, I've never done that. Have you ever drained your own ear?
Yeah. I have a headache.
I went to the doctor, but it always came, as soon as I take a shower, it'll come back.
The thing is that really the way to do it is, like, you gotta get a doctor to fucking you drain it, and then they put a stitch in it so that the two sides stick to each other, and then they tell you don't wrestle for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, can't not wrestle. So what do? You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was so nervous. Like, one time, like in high school, this girl was like sucking on my ear. We were hooking up, and then she was slowly going to the other one. And I'm like, oh no, how am I gonna fucking explain this? So I beat her to it. I'm like, ow, look what you did, just to fuck with her.
girls
think it's hot. Come on.
Now we're back in 1996.
You're right. Cauliflowers used to be really gross, and now they're kind of cool.
It was not that hot at all. Like, now, whenever I'm at a bar or a club and someone's starting shit with someone, I just look at their ears. I go
100%,
100%. Go, all right, like, because you could tell if they have a flat nose and their ears are still fucking. You're like,
yeah.
I could pretty much call who's gonna win this one.
I only have a little bit of cauliflower because I'm only a little good at jujitsu.
Yeah. Well, somebody should have sent the memo to that guy 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. I got some news stories to go over, and then we'll go over to fights this week. So a judge in Georgia, Jason, had to resign after getting a DUI outside Wacko's strip club in Florida.
Let me tell you, bud. I had a lawyer. Look, I got into a kerfuffle, as I am known to do. I had a nice barn in Atlanta. The Atrium. It's like a super nice, like, club, and I had fights there. And then somebody got into a brawl with me. You know, those details don't matter. But I had a lawyer that everybody suggested that they partied with in Atlanta. They're like, he's a judge, bro. He's a judge. He's a judge. So I'm sitting up there at the court with the lawyer, and the damn the judge is staring me in the face and, like, saying, well, he doesn't look like a heavyweight prize fighter. Like, they're saying that I assault with a deadly weapon because this guy got in a fight with me and lost. And this is like 100 years ago. Now, this judge was like taking notes vociferous, like, like scribbling, and like, I'm like, oh, that's good. But then as the proceedings went on, I realized, like, oh man, I'm gonna, like, be stuck on probation or go to jail or something. And like, and I look over at his notes, and he's just drawing circles, and like, and I felt like stopping him and going, can I get a redo? I always went to Wackadoo Strip Club.
You heard of Wacko Strip Club?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, dude, have you ever been to that strip club in Atlanta? I went to one in Atlanta. Girls had, like, hairy vaginas, and they're, like, old. They're, like, 90 years old. This one chick was breaking beer cans with her tits. Like, I think they closed it down. I walk in there, and what's his name was in there? Who was it? It was, I think it was Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson. Were they in Zombieland together? Who was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in there too. It was the most random. These chicks were like 90 years old, and they were breaking shit with their tits. I mean, it was like known for being the worst strip club, but then they had bands. Yeah, it was.
I love it.
It was in. I think I'm pretty sure it closed down, but it was amazing. All right, so Katy Perry was making out with Justin Trudeau on a boat last night.
Wow.
Rumored of them dating. He had his shirt off wearing jeans, grabbing her ass. She was wearing a...
if you're trying to show someone that you're straight, that's what you're going to do.
Listen, you know, as an American, we're glad you can have her.
She's pretty hot. I don't care.
Yeah, I agree. She is hot.
I told you when I met him at Russell Peters' show, right? He was backstage, and they told me don't make any jokes about Trudeau because he's here, and don't point him out because he'll get booed out of the arena. And I go backstage, like, you want to meet him? And he was actually really nice. And then I go, I heard you had a boxing match. And then Russell's like, I do jiu-jitsu. And he pulls guard and goes, look at me, I'm tough, I do jiu-jitsu. He's fucking Prime Minister of Canada. Saying this. I don't know if you guys noticed it in Portland, Oregon, Bill, yesterday, protesters staged an emergency naked bike ride.
Thank God, finally.
A bunch of people rode around naked.
It was an emergency, so did it solve the problem?
Yeah, some of the bikes didn't have seats for the men. and it was a lot of those naked women that it didn't seem like the kind of women you want to see naked. It
was like, always. What was the emergency? Was it climate change? Was it Palestine? Was it ICE?
Was it National Guard? It was ICE. It was National Guard in there. I mean, is being naked on a bicycle going to prevent?
No, they're trolling because the guy said, Donald Trump said, it's like, it's a war zone.
Yeah, that's true. That's what you're doing. Yeah.
The next level, they're like, it's so not a war zone, I can ride my bike with my balls out.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, see them dancing around like in a frog costume.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I don't know if you saw this. There was a girl in a frog costume, and or I don't know if it was a guy or girl, and they had the pepper spray them. So they put the pepper spray up the frog's ass.
Are you serious?
That was the only opening.
Everyone knows frogs absorb through their skin. They should just spray the skin. What?
They should have
stupid joke.
Yeah, no, for real. He put it up his ass. Harvard University hired a drag queen named Lahore Vajistan. To teach a class on gender studies and RuPaul's Drag Race. It's Billy Browner.
This is a subject that every American needs to know. So I'm so glad that we're putting our tax dollars to work.
Yeah. I went to Princeton. That's the more racist of the Ivy Leagues.
But if you're like going to have a class on RuPaul's Drag Race, I would say you should get Lahore Vajistan. All right.
I'm surprised she's available, but okay.
A female-founded sexual wellness brand is launching a vibrator meant to be used while giving birth that can give women orgasms while the baby comes out. My wife would not do that.
Wait, I hear the brand name is Horgasm?
I mean,
what is it called? Is there a name of the thing, of the product?
Let me see. I don't know. I just wrote down the thing. I couldn't even think of, I mean, there was so many punchlines.
I was going to say, Adam, this is perfect for you to come up with like 10 names of things.
Yeah. I didn't think of this. But yeah, I mean, do you think women are going to do that? They're going to start, you know, masturbating while childbirth. A good way to clear the room, I guess. All right. So this says, all right, here we go.
It's going to have a whole new category on Pornhub, I'll tell you that.
I mean, giving birth is a very intimate thing. Also kind of embarrassing, like, you know, for women.
I know. Like, what the hell? Like, how would you feel if your mom was gooning before your birth? You know, by the time you
was gooning? I've never heard that. Gooning?
Yeah, she's gooning. You know what I mean? Like, masturbating, right?
So I've never heard that before. Okay. Yeah.
That's what the kids call it, bro. You know what I mean? You grow up to be like a super villain like Bane. I was born in the goon. I've been all my life.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is the funny. The article is, do you ever think Lamaze is great, but it could be sexier? With contractions,
oh,
lighting, screams, a lot of childbirth, not typically a pleasurable experience. Two companies are coming together. Female founded, it's got to be
a female. No pun intended. Coming together.
I don't feel like a man's ever going to come up with this. You know, women should be masturbating while.
What are you talking about?
While a baby comes out.
I would watch that porn.
But you wouldn't come up with it. You wouldn't come up with the idea. So female founded wellness brand Dame has partnered with Orgasmic Birth to launch a vibrator meant to be used during pregnancy, labor, and birth. because they say a little O can make the experience much better, both by reducing pain with Oxycontin. I mean, for who? For the people watching? And reframing birth.
Oxytocin.
Right. it's rarely part of the mainstream narrative around labor. She went on, we're trying to imagine a fuller spectrum of birth experiences.
Hilarious.
It sounds like the person's on the spectrum.
That's such a nice way to put it. A fuller spectrum of birth experiences.
One pregnancy coach teaches women to climax during labor. I mean, that's a job. It says an orgasm can be 10 times stronger than morphine. Research show it can reduce pain.
They have the picture of the product too. How does it work?
Does it work?
Imagine you have a big dent on your head because you're coming out and your fucking woman's using a vibrator on you. I mean, how do you?
So what next? Men are just gonna be like licking their clit while they're having a baby.
Yeah,
why not that?
And then like you accidentally lick your son in the mouth.
I don't know, Bill. How men licking? I think it's women by themselves. Men aren't licking the clit.
Saying, what's the difference? What's the difference between the woman?
You just inserted a man into this, like a fucking a girl's taking a product. The thing's popping out, and she's. I mean.
Can you illustrate that again, Adam, please? Illustrate.
Yeah. Is this product multi-use? I mean, can it do prostate massages?
what if she's a squirter? I mean, can you imagine like.
The baby flies across the room.
The placenta comes out.
It's like when you.
It says like alien, like hits him in the face.
Strike oil and like it just fucking squirts. And the fucking, I mean, you talk about a kid who's gonna like water slides when he's older. But like, yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, you think it'll sell a lot of products, Jason, or no?
Puts them across onto the table and he's like, hello, my baby. Hello, my baby.
Oh my God.
Just say it, bro. Don't have such a closed mind about it.
You know what? I told my wife about it. She goes, ew. I think a lot of women are not really gonna, you know, be into that. But who knows? I mean, I think after it's like some people have like 7 or 8 babies. I mean, after 5, you might feel like a hack or something. You want to mix it up. You don't want to do the same.
Like after 3, you know what I mean? You like take the anal beads and rip them out at the same time the baby's coming out, and you get everything done at one time. You know, this reminds me, this might be the next wave of things, because back in the day, we would treat women for like hysteria by just gooning them. You know what I mean? Yeah, give them a vibrator, and then all of a sudden they're fixed.
I thought gooning was like somebody who likes to fuck a lot.
Gooning is, yeah, well, they wish. Gooning is like beating off, bro. I didn't know this either. I hang out, remember, I'm coaching young dudes, and they're like saying these new words. And I'm like the pipeline, bro. Like I know all the stuff that the 20-year-olds are talking about way before everyone else. It's very strange.
So I don't know if you guys saw the Florida A&M announcer. Okay, so they had these like cheerleaders. I think they're called like the something bees. They're like basically voluptuous women. They were dancing.
They could call them D's or E's, you know?
So they were dancing during halftime, and the guy announcer goes, give it up for the new faces of Ozempic.
I heard about that.
Which people were very upset at this guy. I think he had to apologize.
Why did he say this? Because they all got thin?
No, because they're fat. Adam is being very PC by saying voluptuous.
Oh,
they're fat, not PH fat. Capital F fat.
So they're called the F's.
All right. So Dana White says that the White House UFC event, they're going to start at the Oval Office and then walk to the Octagon. So the fighters are going to warm up in the Oval Office and then walk from.
We really are in the strangest timeline, man. We really are.
Mayhem's face was like
that can't be real. There's no way that could be real. That's way too much national security risk.
Been here.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a dumbass for letting this happen, because you know, here's the thing is that I have 50 professional fights. I have hocked the loogie on every floor. Not right. I'm saying, bro, Donald Trump is is the boss of Golden Palaces, bro. He does not know what kind of before we're going out to fight. Somebody needs to tell him, bro. Because
You know what? I really wish Diego Sanchez was still fighting, because having him hold on, telling yes.
Diego Sanchez might take a dump in the fucking Resolute desk.
Can you imagine Diego walking out with a firewall going, yes, yes, from the office? I
love it.
Diego Sanchez flipping open the nuclear codes and guessing right at first.
He presses a button and all of a sudden the whole country blows up. Like,
it does boom, bro. All of a sudden, Colorado starts rumbling, and then the mountains scale back, and ICBMs fly up to Ukraine. Yeah, you thought Russian.
You know what? I kind of like these. I kind of like this news story segment. I think it's adding something to this podcast.
You're gonna get rid of MMA in the title.
America roasted. A California woman known as the Butt Lady. She said she was a doctor. She wasn't licensed. She's found guilty of murdering an actress that was on Married with Children by giving her botched silicone injections in her ass. She's known as the Butler. Now she's in deep shit. So the girl was in the MC Hammer's, Young MC's Bust a Move music video. She was one of the dancers. That's the one who died. Rest in peace. Her funeral was attended by her best friend Harry, who had a brother Larry, in 5 days from. Okay, and
ouch! So, oh my god!
Lionel Richie, his fans are very upset because they showed up to a Times Square concert venue expecting a performance, only to hear him rattle on about his new book for an hour. So, Lionel Richie.
Oh man. Did he say hello, dressed in yellow? Come sit next to me.
Nice callback.
You just combined the songs. That's amazing. Those are my news stories. This week is UFC Vancouver. There's some good fights this week. Are you guys, let's see who's on this.
I've been going there for tax purposes, like Hollywood.
UFC Vancouver. But it's actually a good fight. It's actually a good card. So let me see if we got it. So UFC Vancouver, MMA Junkie, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so tax purposes. Oh, and then BJ Penn, unfortunately, is now under, let me see, BJ Penn, it said, is...
Unfortunately nothing, bro. Is he busted?
It said BJ Penn, UFC Hall of Famer ordered to take mental health evaluation.
Yeah, thank God, finally. Bro,
yeah.
I have to separate him from the dope. I mean, you know what I mean? Before, I was very nervous and didn't want to say nothing and blah, blah, blah to be nice to him. But at this stage in the game, look, I know he's doing drugs of some sort or another, and he needs to stop. And the only way he's going to clean up is if he's locked away from the drugs and has a chance to grow his brain back and, like, go, oh, I don't need those friends, and move on, because it's bad.
You don't think it could be CTE, Jason?
Listen, I'll tell you what. Getting hit in the head a lot will make you more impulsive. And if you have a lot of friends around that do drugs, your impulse is to do drugs. And I'm telling you, yeah, maybe. But listen, I watched that silly video, or I don't know if it was it wasn't even body cam. It was one of his high friends saying high friend stuff. He was like, oh, I need your wallet. What? You're going to jail? Some other guy wants your wallet? Like, bro, that's like drug stuff. Hey, I need your wallet for something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because everyone's getting high over there. I can't prove it. He didn't piss in a cup. But all of, like, the getting high and getting drunk and friends, party house, I've done it before. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So
I was at your party house when that was happening.
You didn't even see. You saw the very beginning.
I know.
Like, later on, it turned into
BJ. It got a lot more P. Diddy.
It got a lot more BJ Penn. It was sounded exactly like that. There are all these hanger-on people who were like, just taking my money and taking my drugs.
I'm super proud of you now, man.
It wasn't easy. I had to reinvent my entire self, bro, because I was so in that life and it was self-sustaining, where everybody, I could have done that forever until I died. And I hope BJ doesn't go through that. Like, I hope it's, and everyone's telling me, oh, go help him, go help him. What? What am I going to do? He's going to see me or something, or, you know what I mean? Shoot me when I go over there. So, you know, it's not, it's coming from the heart. If I didn't care, I wouldn't say anything, you know, but I care, and I want him to rise up above this like I know he can.
So this week it's RDR against Brandon Allen. Allen's a badass fighter from Tennessee or something. He's just, and RDR is he's the guy that beat Bo Nickel, and he also is coming off a win over Robert Whittaker. He beat Kevin Holland. He beat Mershart. I mean,
he could be a championship for sure.
Is he French or what is he? He's,
I think he's. What?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody give me that. What flag is that? It looks like team's flag.
But Brandon Allen his nickname is All In, which is
badass too. Yeah,
he beat Marvin Vettori. He lost to Anthony Hernandez and Emavov. Beat Chris Curtis. Beat Paul Craig. So this should be a good. This is a good main event. Kevin Holland is fighting Mike Malott. Kevin Holland's one of those guys. Beats everyone. I think he's gonna lose to. Loses the guy. I think he's gonna win. It's really Marlon Vera's fighting on this against Zahabi. Have you ever met Faraz, Jason?
Yeah.
It's his brother, who's a 13-2.
That's great. Oh, that's great. Faraz, that's his brother. It looks like him.
Yeah. He's 30. He's good. He's really good. He beat Jose Aldo, Pedro Munhoz. He beat. He hasn't lost since 2019. So wow. this should be a good fight as well. Marlon Vera is awesome. So that's Cody Gibson. He's the guy that was, he came on our podcast. He was the school teacher was canvassing for Bernie Sanders. Made to the UFC, then got cut and back to the UFC. Matt Steamroller Frivola is in the card versus Kyle Nelson. Charles Jourdain, he's the guy that has like a mullet but is bald for some reason, versus David Grant. Bruno Silva. I mean, this is a good card. This is a good, solid card. So looking forward to it. What do you got coming up? Mayhem.
I don't know, man. There's a fight circus this weekend. Should I go fight in it?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They offer you a fight?
Yeah.
What?
What kind of fight?
It's in Vegas. I don't know.
Well, you should find out what kind of fight it is, right?
I don't care.
Pillow fight?
How much is the pay good?
So let's see if it works out. I'll tell you. But anyway, I'm sure that it's going down out there.
I think it'll be fun. I think you'll kick ass. You're in great shape. You know, as long as you don't get hurt, I don't think you're gonna get hurt.
You do karjitsu, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know. I did the announcing for it a while back, and I thought it's ridiculous. But
yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. Just don't party.
Link my new YouTube show up, bro. I gotta have you guys on. Can you please come on my show?
Yeah, and send me the link.
Here this week. I'm here this weekend. I mean, I'm here this week. So if you guys are in LA, I'll be down.
I'm here till Wednesday. Bill, what do you got coming up?
I'm at the Helium in Indianapolis tonight. Helium, Indianapolis, St. Louis tomorrow. And then the Funny Bone, Kansas City on Wednesday.
Why don't you call McCorkle? He lives in Indiana.
Where in Indiana is he?
Indiana.
Is he in Indianapolis? Is he near Indiana? Okay, I'll hit him up. See if he's in Indianapolis.
Close. Hit him up.
Yeah. All right, I will.
Yeah, he's very close.
You know he's watching right now. Go ahead.
I'll be in Laughlin at the LA Comedy Club in Laughlin this week. And then Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples next week. And then I'm with Russell Peters all in Canada, all of November, all around Canada, like Saskatchewan, like some crazy places, New Prince and stuff like that. So thank you guys. You guys are the best. Love you guys. I'm going to edit now. You guys are the best. Take care, guys.
All right, bye.